You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
What's up, Packer fans? We're back after, a month-long absence, guys? What did you guys do with all of your free time? Jordan, you tell me first.
I'm trying to transfer into watching some other sports, but it's nothing like football. Nothing like football. It's been a dark month already. We got 6 more months of it. It's not good.
It's only just begun. Dusty, what have you been keeping busy with?
I moved a record player into my office at work, which has been great, and I'm gearing up for baseball season, man. I got a PS4 for Christmas. I'm playing some MLB The Show. I'm trying to get back into some video games, but really just gearing up for baseball. And then taking care of a baby, I guess. I'm also taking care of a baby.
I knew you were gonna bring up the kid. Jeez.
I know. I'm sorry.
Second priority.
Mm-hmm. All right, the voices you've been hearing are Jordan Peck and Dusty Easley, and I am your host, Brian Fonfara. And I actually also got a PS4 for my birthday in January. Great. And the only game I had up until today was Call of Duty. So after just a shameful start to my Black Ops 3 career, I've leveled out all my stats, and I'm actually pretty good now. But today I got FIFA 16, and so now it's just... Now soccer dominates my life until the fall.
Yep.
So
there you go.
Yeah, good stuff. So we've all been keeping busy. I mean, nothing productive, but busy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're not going to talk about the Packers' loss in the playoffs because that sounds depressing. We're moving on. It's 2016 now. The new league season starts, and we're going to talk the off season, break some stuff down for you. We're going to start with some of the coaching staff changes that were made, namely the new wide receivers coach, Luke Getsy. Finally have a dedicated receivers coach again. Ooh. Running backs coach, Ben Sermons, who described Eddie Lacy's 2016 season as hungry. Very poor choice of words. And the new tight end coach, Brian Angelico.
Angelico. Oh,
but for real, guys, so Ben Sermon, tell us about Eddie Lacy. He's hungry. Yeah, we know he's hungry. That's the problem. He's hungry. You couldn't have said he's determined.
No.
Come on. There are so many adjectives in the English language, and he went with hungry.
It's accurate. It was very accurate. The man is not a liar. We know that up front.
No, it's true. From McDonald's breakfast and some China food. Here we go. Eddie Lacy, I know you listen to this show, and I'm sorry for how this has started, but there's too rich.
How dare you?
We here at Pack to the Future believe in you, Eddie. Believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So... those three being the major changes, how do you guys feel about those three new head coaches, those three position coaches? Do they make you happy? Dusty?
Fine. I like that they've split up. I finally have a dedicated wide receivers coach, which was, I believe we've talked about that before. Like, that was that was missing. That seemed like maybe that was stretched too far. I whether that was part of the cause of Aaron Rodgers, say less than productive season or less than what we expect from him season. I don't know, but having someone split between two and then having both suffer, the step downward Davante Adams had this year, that could have been just, you know, more playing time thrust into a bigger role, or it could have been maybe the coaching. So having dedicated wide receivers coach, I really, really like. Tight end coach, like, I don't know. I don't have a ton of an opinion. I mean, he turned, Angelico turned Gary Barnage into an all-pro, which is awesome. Maybe he can do that. But he's, like, my main gripe with Richard Rodgers last season was not Richard Rodgers. It was how he was used. Angelico's not going to be calling the plays. Like, he can coach all he wants, but that's not going to stop them from running 2 yard outs in the flat. Like, so I want to believe in that, but if they don't bring in someone else, like another tight end who can actually do that and make something out of it, it's not going to change how they use Richard Rodgers. So I'm kind of on the fence about that one. I'd like to see how that turns out. I can't say I'm excited. I'm just kind of, meh. And then running backs even more so. Like, that's fine. Running backs were fine last year. I think they ended up with close to tying the league in fumbles, if I'm not mistaken. So that's upsetting. So that's probably what hastened the change. But I don't know. I have a hard time. Like, running back is probably the one that I care about the least. Like, it's fine if he can get Lacy running like he did. And I mean, I say running like he did. He had some really good games. Even like fat, hungry Lacy had some really good games this year. So if he can get him maybe down in weight a little bit in a contract year, which I can't imagine would be super hard, he's going to be very – like, Lacy's going to have a good season, I believe, regardless of who the coach is. So I don't care too much about that. So I'm kind of, I guess, wide receiver coach excited, tight end coach – I don't know, kind of hesitantly positive, and then running backs coach, I'm just kind of, whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to disagree. I am excited about Getsy, just because of the way that guys like Randall Cobb have been talking about him. Like, basically, some players begged Mike McCarthy to promote him to the position, so he's very highly regarded. So I'm happy with that. And Angelico, I'm actually a little more excited about than you are. Just because Richard Rodgers is so much more talented, and maybe if there's a good coach for him out there who can kind of go to bat for him and say, Mike, I swear to God, if you make him run to the flat one more time and catch a screen pass, I will end you. That's what I'm kind of hoping for. So maybe Angelico's that guy. Yep. And, yeah, you mentioned Gary Barnage, and Richard Rodgers is so much more talented than Gary Barnage, a guy who one had ever heard of before last year. And he's been in the league a while. So, yeah, I'm excited about that one. Ben Sermon's kind of seems like a babysitter for Eddie Lacy. Am I wrong? You know, Eddie Lacy has this overweight, underproductive, terrible season. His coach gets fired, and then there's a new guy coming in, and all he's talking about is Eddie Lacy. It seems like, I don't know, Eddie Lacy personal trainer, babysitter type role, trying to get the most out of him.
I mean, here's what maybe they should have done. Is that like, so there's the big thing about out of Buffalo this year was that how they hired the first ever female coach in the league, right? And just running back coach, man, if that's all it is, personal trainer, Jillian Michaels. Just bring Jillian Michaels in. She sits with Lacy. She just whips him up. It's another female coach. I think she'd be very well suited for that. I'd be excited about that hire.
Love it. Now, there were rumors Eddie Lacy doing the beach body workouts. Have we heard anything about that? I'd love for him to shred 35 pounds working out on a beach. All right, Jordan, your thoughts on the coaching changes?
I mean, it's really, until we see any kind of results, it's hard to get too excited about any of it. It's encouraging to see what Angelico's done with a guy like Barnage, and maybe he'll get a little bit more out of Rodgers in his next year plan. With Getsy, I'm maybe not as excited as you guys. It's certainly a good thing that Van Pelt doesn't have the responsibility of quarterbacks and receivers. But it's from what I've read is that Getsy spent a lot of time in the quarterbacks and receivers room. So it doesn't seem like a whole lot. I don't know. It's certainly a reallocation of duties, and that's a welcome thing. It needed to be changed, but yeah. I'm hoping that it's, I hope an attitude of staleness doesn't still permeate in that room, which I don't think it will. But I'd like to, once we get a full healthy wide receiving core getting going this next season, then I'll be a little more excited about that. But it's just with all these guys, nothing's a done deal. We have no idea if these guys are really going to be working magic in their perspective jobs. But it's good that some change made. The change with Van Pelt had to be made, so that's a good thing. With the running backs and the tight ends coach, it's just, maybe it lights a fire into Lacey. Who knows? I mean, right now we've just heard talk. He's been in front of a microphone and said some words. So that doesn't mean anything for the course of the season. And as Dusty said, it's a contract year. If that's not enough for Lacey to work the weight off this offseason on his own without the help of this guy, then, I mean, no, there's something seriously wrong then. Then the passion is clearly not there. So, I'm fine with the changes. It's a kind of whatever, but we'll have a better gauge on if they were the right choices come August and September.
All right. So real quick, all this talk about Eddie Lacy, do either of you see any scenario where he is a Packer after next year?
Sure. Do I see any scenario that's a possibility? Yeah.
I mean, in some dimension, probably. But, yeah, I'm probably with Jordan. Yeah, probably. It doesn't seem likely, but it could happen, I guess.
The way
I mean, if he goes out and rushes.
I think he would just have to have, such a perfectly average season where – there's promise that he'll perform going forward, but not so much promise that he's going to demand a huge contract. Because I see it as either he gets his act together, has a huge year, and prices himself out of Green Bay, or he doesn't take next year seriously. He plays like crap and is overweight again, and we don't want him. That's
even then, though, I could see if he shows enough promise to where you could see maybe he's going to regain his own form. I still don't think the Packers are able to sign him on the cheap because the Packers aren't the only team seeing that. The teams have seen what he's done. They know what he's capable of. And if he shows any bit of that promise, if he sheds, say, 20 pounds next year and hits, maybe split some time with Starks, or Starks may be gone. So for whoever he ends up splitting the backfield with two or three ways, Aaron Ripkowski, say, splitting carries with Lukowski. If he hits like 900 yards, maybe like 1100 all purpose or something, the only reason I see him coming back is if he really likes, if maybe he hits something like that, it's average, you can see the promise, and he also really likes it in Green Bay. I think that's the key. If he doesn't really care and he's in it for the money, if he shows any promise at all, someone's going to pony up a lot of money for him. And maybe the Packers will be in that mix if they feel like he's a good fit for them. And they're going to have cap money. But it seems unlikely that he's back. Like you said, he's either going to be really bad or he's going to be good. Or even if he's average, he could price himself out. So there's a scenario where he's back, but I think it all hinges on how he feels about if he just really loves his time in Green Bay. If he loves either the city or the team, he's going to have to love something about it. I think that's the only way he's back next year.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, really, and you guys are talking about an average season. I think it's still a good possibility of that. I think it's a very high probability that he has an average season. I don't see him going out and, rushing for 1,500 yards. I don't see him doing that. But also, I don't know. I mean, there are obviously teams that make the knee-jerk reactions on getting a big free agent name, and if Lacey has a good season, that's what it'll be. But I mean, this is the kind of back that doesn't last very long in this league, the guy that runs this way. You know, he certainly won't be a 1,000-yard rusher for, you know, too many more seasons, even though he's only been in the league a couple of years. It's just that doesn't – that's not what happens with running backs his size in the league. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
All right. So we've talked about the changes. We all seem fairly happy about the new coaches being brought on. What I want to know is if you guys are happy now with the overall coaching staff. You know, some changes that weren't made were defensive coordinator. Tom Clemens is still around. Edgar Bennett's in the same position. So overall, the new coaching staff, are you guys content? Jordan?
Yes, I'm content. I mean, we've talked at length over the course of this past season about defensive coaching changes that, you know, we wanted made. You know, a lot of that probably was driven by our emotions in the heat of the moment. And right now, with the pieces that we have on this defense, and if we can add a couple more pieces, I mean, this is a contending team. So it's hard to say, no, this is a coaching staff that's not going to take us to the extra level. We've seen them do it. They've won a Super Bowl. This crew is capable of doing it. Now, we've had many frustrations over the past few years, which is what comes to the forefront of our memory when we talk about, you know, particularly Capers, the defensive coaches, and our playoff performances in that regard. But if I'm content right now in this offseason going in, I actually am. I'm anxious to see what they do. If they add a defensive piece in free agency, what they do in the draft in order to shore up some spots that we need help in. But as of right now, yeah, I'm content with it. I'm not overly excited, but I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
I have to say, overall, I'm content too. I've spoken out a lot against Dom Capers, but I'm going to make a sweeping declaration here, guys. The whole rest of the offseason, I am not going to say a negative thing about Dom Capers. I am going to put on my green and gold glasses and pretend that everything is perfect and assume that Dom Capers is going to lead a top five Packers defense next year. That is not a prediction.
This is being recorded, right? Like, this is being recorded, so everyone knows.
It's being recorded. I'm making NFL history right now. and it feels dirty, but putting
That's
on
good.
My green and gold
it's
glasses and Dom Capers is going to turn this defense around next year. And the only thing that has me confused is the Tom Clemens situation. Like, nobody knows what his role was after they took away the play calling. They said it was basically the same, only without the play calling, but, I mean, he's not the offensive coordinator. He's not a position coach. He's just assistant offensive coach. Like, I thought that was the offensive coordinator when you have an offensive-minded head coach. But I don't know what his role is. I'm not sure why he's still here. I'm not sure why he still wants to be in a place where his role is so ambiguous. I don't know. It's just
I think we all said at the time when he was put into that spot that was just a ceremonial thing to – you know, for McCarthy not to, you know, humiliate him in the middle of the season, and then you just figured we'd cut ties with him in the offseason. It hasn't happened yet. It is confusing.
Right. Yeah. I figured there were probably offensive coordinator jobs out there for him, but apparently he's happy with where he is. Maybe he just really likes working with Aaron Rodgers. That's a possibility. I mean, who could blame him?
Yeah.
All right, Dusty. How you feel?
I will not be content until I see Dom Capers' head on a spike. You hear me, Dom?
I wish you had
on
talked
a spike.
Before me.
Wait, is
this somewhere outside of somewhere outside of Lambeau? Like in a ring of fire, you know? Like just some make a big show of it. Like maybe even christen whenever they like save it. You know, save his head if you want. And then when they have, like, the big, like, the Titletown thing, like, around Lambeau, you just christen it by smashing his head against the side like you would like a wine bottle against a boat, like to christen it, you know, like that's what I want to see. So,
coming up next on Game okay. of Thrones.
If I see that in a season of Game of Thrones, if I actually see them do that, like I'm suing them. I'm suing them because I can't do that.
Special guest Dom Capers.
All right, let me. it's just a guest star, and just his head is smashed, and just me just screaming in my house by myself. My wife has no idea what I'm doing. Okay, I got off on a bit there. Okay, so
just a little.
Let me take it down a notch. I'm sorry, guys. You know, I've been drinking. I'm close to my room by myself. It's been a rough week at work.
You know what? Usually I'm the only one making epic rants. It's nice for somebody to share the load every once in a while. I'm glad
That's
one
true.
Of you two
That's
is
true.
Finally carrying your slack.
I can get up. It just after a while, I'm just tired. I need to take it back down. So I've watched like every defensive snap from the coach's film during the Capers era since 2011, I think. And I've actually praised him more than I thought I would. Last year, I mean, they ended, Brian, you said top five defense next year. They were top 10 this year. They may have been. They weren't top five, were they? But they were top 10.
They're top 10. Yeah.
They have this habit of giving up big plays at the worst possible mm-hmm. moments, and just long stretches of lethargy and otherwise they'll come out the game hot, and then a lot of times they'll just decide to give up somewhere in the second quarter, and maybe start playing in the fourth or something. Like it's a trend. I like what he's done. Like that's the thing, watching this past year, I like a lot of the things he did. Even the past couple of years, he's had guys in different spots. I did a big post over at when Packer Update was still a thing, when Peppers was signed. Basically, watched every snap of Peppers, and what I decided was with the Bears, he was not utilized well. They basically rushed him from like the same side of the field every time. It was unpredictable. And I said, if Capers uses him, which they kind of said a little bit after that, the elephant roll, they're going to move him around a little bit, he'd be very, very good. To his credit, they did that. They moved Peppers around a lot. He lined up a lot of different spots that they couldn't account for him. And I think that's part of why he's done so well in Green Bay. Not ready to say like past tense, because he may not be here next year, but he's done really, really well, and part of that is Capers. He's schemed his players really well. Clinton Dix, that's part of that secondary coaching, but they put him in a good position to succeed. Burnett, same thing. Like they've schemed Burnett really well this past year, past couple years really. It's been creative looks. So that's the thing. I don't want to get too down on Capers, because he is still creative, but they just seem to roll over in big moments far too often. Like it's a trend that's not like a 1 year trend. They had a very good year in 2010. They've had very good years since then, but like never complete. Like it's still just, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. Basically, I don't necessarily know that I wanted to see Capers fired. Like I kind of did, especially after the season. I backed off on it a little. I think I've calmed down despite what my opening comments were, but I wouldn't mind to see him gone. I mean, there's people out there. There's different ways they can go with it. And I think Capers, we know what we get with Capers. He's old. Sometimes he falls asleep in the booth. Like we know what he is. I would have liked to see him gone. I don't like that in a season in which the defense held strong for most of the season, had some bad moments, but still was the same kind of Capers defense we're used to seeing for the most part. And the offense was so bad that they hire running backs, tight end, basically split the quarterback wide receiver and hire a wide receivers coach and just say, yeah, that's it. And we've talked about this before. It's a little privilege to say it was a disappointing season, because they still made the playoffs. They won a playoff game. Like for a lot of teams, that's a success. And it should be a success. I mean, it's fine. They made it further than I thought they would. They almost made the NFC Championship game. That's great. They probably would have been hammered by the Panthers, but that's great. But like, I feel like this is where they're going to live. I feel like as long as Capers is defensive coordinator, this is where they're going to live. And so I think his time is done because we know what he gives you. We already know. And so that's kind of where I'm sitting. I don't hate Capers, but I think he's done. I think his time is done.
Yeah.
I think you said Clements things confuses me, but Capers, like, I wouldn't even mind seeing him on as like a, you know, not a coordinator, but like some kind of consultant if they want to keep him around or some other job, like if no one else wants him. Maybe he'd be good at another team. Maybe, you know, that bring that scheme. I'm kind of done with Capers, even though he's been creative. I think I'm done with him. I would have liked to have seen some bigger moves rather than those three hires, but Capers is the big one. But even then, I don't know. I don't feel as strongly about it as I used to, but I really thought that was going to be the move. I really thought he was going to be done. But it upsets me a little bit.
Yeah, I feel pretty much the same way. I wasn't desperate for him to be fired this year. Really wanted it to happen, but last year when Wade Phillips was available is when I was desperate for it.
Yeah.
I was just begging. I'm like, dude, you've got one of the best, or probably the best defensive coordinator, is a free agent, had been for an entire year, I believe. And so we had two chances to bring in a great defensive coordinator that took Denver from really good defense to absolutely smothering in 1 year. Peyton Manning
threw
more interceptions than touchdowns this year, and he won a Super Bowl because of Wade Phillips' defense.
Well, and part of what gets me about the Capers thing, too, I mean, I say he's creative, and I praise him for that, but I mean, my God, the talent on that side of the ball, the draft picks they put into it, they've got, you know, Peppers they signed, but they've got a ton of talent on that side of the ball. Like, I feel like a lot of people could have done a lot of very, very, very good things with that defense. And, you know, they were top 10 unit. That's great. I feel like a lot of people could have done that. Like, they're swimming with talent. There's so much talent. There's a lot of guys who can do a lot of different things. They dealt with some injuries, but I guess not a shocking amount on that side of the ball. Like, they're relatively healthy defensive unit, very talented. And I feel like a lot of guys could have done what Capers did. I feel like they need a guy who can take them up the next level. And at this point, I don't think Capers is that guy.
No, I don't think that guy is employed by the Packers right now, even. All right. Okay. Moving on to some of our pending free agents. We've already re-signed Mike Daniels. We re-signed LaTroy Guyon. And now there's this list left. All-pro offensive tackle Don Barclay, who obviously we need back. Mason Crosby, our long snapper, Brett Goode, Casey Hayward, James Jones, John Kuhn, Mike Neal, Nick Perry, Andrew Corliss, BJ Raji, Sean Richardson, James Starks, and Scott Tolzien as unrestricted free agents, and Andy Malumba and Lane Taylor, a guard, are restricted free agents. So two of them re-signed already. I'm assuming Mason Crosby would be the next. I'm not sure, but I would assume. I assume it's going to happen. So what we're going to do here, let's exclude Mason Crosby. We're sure that he's going to be back. I don't see any way he's not. So we're going to each pick three of our remaining free agents that we would prioritize. If we could only re-sign three of the however many are left, which ones would they be? Dusty, lead us off.
I thought this was going to be really tough, and then I was looking, and it really was not hard at all. There was one guy that I left out that I kind of hate, but I will take, and this is, you know, we're not really looking at salary cap implications, how much money we think they'll get. Nick Perry, B.J. Raji, and Casey Hayward will be my three. I'm sad I left out James Starks because I really do like him. I actually wouldn't be shocked if he's back on a lower salary, but those are three defensive players that, I don't know, are very, very good or can be good. Raji had a good season last year. Perry was not quite. So over at the site, we had to do before the season our bold predictions, and I predicted my first one, I wrote a couple, was that Nick Perry would lead the Packers in sacks this year, which was just horribly wrong. But he had a very good postseason. He actually had a limited snaps. He actually had a pretty good year. He looked much better than he had. Part of that's because he's healthy. I've been a fan of Perry since they drafted him. I really like him a lot. He's never going to be the guy they thought they got, but I think he's going to be a solid contributor. Again, Raji's kind of the same. He's good in the middle. He's not amazing. He's definitely lost a little bit, but he was every bit as good this past year as I hoped he would. And then Hayward is, I mean, we saw he's not good on the outside, but he's one of the better slot defenders in the league still. He showed that this season. So those are my three. I'd like to see those three guys back.
All right, Jordan.
Yeah, this isn't very exciting, but I mean I can't disagree. That was the list that I had after I had Mason Crosby on there as well, but as you know what I mean, that's about as much of a done deal as you can have without actually having him put pen to ink. But I mean, for the same reasons Dex said, these are the guys we need to have back. The guy that I out of the three that I don't think gets re-signed, unless they can bring back Raji on the cheap. I mean, them re-signing Guyon and having Daniels isn't looking too good for Raji. That being said, I would love to have him to shore up that depth. I mean, you have those guys. There are moments in last season with Raji, just he's absolutely demolishes guy on the offensive line. It was crazy stuff that you see Mike Daniels do. Raji's capable of doing it too. But we'll see. I'd love to have him back. I'm skeptical about him. Other options too, and I think since we don't want to bring up too much with salary cap in this talk, but the issue with Nick Perry too, I have a feeling he's going to be costing a little more, and a guy like Mike Neal is going to be probably a cheaper option. So I could see the Packers sticking with Neal and maybe letting Perry go. I wouldn't be surprised to see that at all. That being said, I would rather have Perry, rather have Raji. So I'm on board with Dusty and his three picks for the free agents.
Fair enough. I'm going to switch it up a little bit because, unlike you guys, I'm interesting. I'm going to agree with Nick Perry. I think he'd be really important. I think he has a really good role carved out on this defense, and especially if Clay Matthews is moving outside. We have our pass rushers with Matthews and Peppers. Now we have Nick Perry, who, you know, he provides a little bit of pass rush from time to time, but how good he is at defending the run at outside linebacker, something that Clay Matthews is so noticeably bad at. Holding the edge as an outside linebacker against the run, he's been really bad at it. All those years of even Colin Kaepernick running up and down the field on us, that was Clay Matthews, an outside linebacker, pretending that he knew how to contain the edge. So Nick Perry for me. I'm going to agree on B.J. Raji. I think we can get him back for cheap. I think that takes care of our nose tackle position with him, Guyon, and Mike Pennell, who's going to miss the first four games. So depth will be important there. And I'm going to go ahead and assume that Casey Hayward is gone. I think he's going to get a huge payday somewhere else.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to try to make him into a number one cornerback, so he won't warrant that payday, much like Devon House down in Jacksonville. I'm going to go with a weird one, and I really like Aaron Rutkowski, but I'm going to go with John Kuhn. Just because, oh my goodness, he was so good this year. As a lead blocker, as a pass protector on special teams, just maybe Aaron Rodgers is the only player that knows this offense better than John Kuhn. His knowledge of this offense came in handy so many times last year, and he was unfortunately one of our better offensive players, our fullback, believe it or not. Again, I really like Aaron Rutkowski, but I mean, John Kuhn can probably be brought back for really cheap. One more year for Ripkowski to learn the position while John Kuhn just puts on a freaking clinic of how to do it. So those are my three. I went a little bit different. So nothing you can do about it.
I still hate the idea of carrying two fullbacks. Like, that's just, I don't know, man. Like, did it this year, and Ripkowski was fine on special teams, so that, I mean, that helps mitigate it a little bit. That's the thing with Kuhn. Like, yeah, it's fine. I like Kuhn. He's fine. He had a good year. I don't know about great year, but he had a very good year. But I don't like the idea of carrying two fullbacks on the roster. They drafted Ripkowski last year. That's part of it. I wouldn't mind if they brought him back. If they bring him back, I won't be mad. But they drafted Ripkowski last year. Like, I can't see them bringing him back. Same reason I don't see them bringing, say, like, Tolzien back. Like, they've already got a replacement on the roster. I just don't see it happening.
Keep in mind, you've got
some stuff to be excited about in Ripkowski too. It's not like they have just
this
scrub other fullback that can make a special teams play now and then. We've seen Ripkowski make some plays.
No, it's true. It's true. I won't be upset if Kuhn isn't brought back. Like, it would make perfect sense. But Dusty, what you seem to be forgetting is that you are a Packer fan, and the Packers' personnel decisions are made by Ted Thompson. Ted Thompson kept two fullbacks last year. There was a year where he kept three fullbacks. There was a year where he kept five tight ends. This is the world you live in.
True.
Two fullbacks is nothing. Even though a huge number of other teams don't carry any fullbacks anymore, two fullbacks on a Ted Thompson team is nothing.
I think part of it, I just want to see Ripkowski more. That man had one catch this season, one catch. And it was against the Panthers, and he murdered a man, like literally murdered him on the field. I just want to see more of that, you know. I saw Kuhn do very good things. I also saw him blow block. Like, Kuhn's fine. Ripkowski, he's younger. He's basically younger Kuhn. That's it. He's basically younger Kuhn. Like, just convince Kuhn to retire and just have him back on as, like, a coach for Ripkowski. I'd love that. I would absolutely love that.
Before I sign off on that, maybe one of you two can fill me in on Ripkowski's ability to grow a beard, because John Kuhn has a fantastic Chuck Norris-esque beard, and I think that's
a really valuable thing to have
at the fullback position.
Ripkowski, Ripkowski would set the standard.
He would. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures of him right now.
He's crazy good. Yeah.
So we talked before the game about basically what watching Ryan Reynolds did for us as men. I'm looking at pictures of Ripkowski's beard right now. It's like watching Ryan Reynolds. It's the same thing, just that beard. It's fantastic.
Never mind. Adios, John Kuhn. I can sign off on it now. I can sign off on it now. If we've got the Ryan Reynolds of beards, and I mean, I don't want a fullback who doesn't have a great beard. I mean, that's a prerequisite for me. So
maybe it's not the Ryan Reynolds. At the very least, it's the Jordan Peck of beards. He's got that going for him.
There you go.
Okay, so he should be cut immediately then. There's nothing about Jordan Peck that I want associated with the Packers. Never mind that I called him and asked him to be on this podcast with me.
That's a contradictory statement.
I live in Denver. Marijuana's legal here, okay? It was a moment of weakness. Moving
makes
on.
Much more sense.
Mom, if you're listening, I was not high, I promise. All right, so continuing a free agent talk, now we're going to talk external. And guys, I want each of us to pick one free agent that you can. Before we do that, sorry, we're going to talk biggest needs. Marijuana's legal here. Leave me alone.
It's the off-season.
So Mel Kiper, in his most recent mock draft, came out and said that because of Jake Ryan, inside linebacker is not a need for the Green Bay Packers. And anybody who's listened to this podcast before, knows that there is not in all the land a bigger Jake Ryan fan than I am. I love the kid. I love his toughness, his nose for the ball. But he also has limitations. He's not exactly a sprinter. He's not great in coverage. And even if all of that was erased and he turned out to be a great inside linebacker next year, he just explodes onto the scene. Who's playing next to him? We saw, half of a decent season out of Sam Barrington, who's going to be coming back from an injury. Nate Palmer is garbage. Who's going to be playing next to him? Of course, inside linebacker's a need. Ugh.
Well, I mean, Kiper's got to be going off the assumption that Matthews is going to be playing the majority of the snaps inside. He's got to be thinking that.
Well, then this guy who talks about football for a living should have heard the words from Mike McCarthy's mouth saying that Clay Matthews is moving to outside linebacker. That was like the first thing he said once the offseason started. It was, "Hi, I'm Mike McCarthy. I'm here for my postseason press conference. Clay Matthews is moving to outside linebacker." Like he couldn't wait to say it.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's just, it doesn't make any sense otherwise. It really doesn't. I mean, it's even with Matthews at the inside, it was still a position in need this past season.
Yep.
So it's a ridiculous statement.
Yep. All right. So we all agree that it's a need. Tell me if it is our biggest need right now, and if not, what is, Jordan?
I do believe it is our biggest need. I think you need that if you're going to move Clay to the outside, you need just that guy, that leader of the defense that's going to be calling the shots on the inside there. And you're right, it's not going to be Jake Ryan this next season. Guys, he's a good player, but he's a complimentary piece. He's not a guy you can center the inner part of your defense around. So for me, it's clearly inside linebacker as the biggest need for the team. And there's option. We're going to talk about that later, but there's definitely options for the Packers to fill that need. But I'll let Dusty have his go at it. But yeah, I for me, it is the biggest need for the team.
Dusty, do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of talked about this stuff a little pre-show, and I kind of was looking or kind of thinking about what the other biggest needs were. Just say immediate, just thinking in terms of last year, and you know, wide receiver pops up. Well, you know, Nelson's coming back, and if Nelson's back and healthy, which there's no reason I think he won't be, it's going to be stacked. They'll be absolutely fine, especially if Janice and Abadaris are in the mix, and the offensive line wasn't great. Well, it's tough to say you need to strengthen that need if all the guys are healthy all season. I mean, I don't see it as like a huge need. We'll get to that later, but I don't see it as a huge need if you're relying on you need to strengthen it with backups, which depth is important. But yeah, I mean, the defensive line could be very good. Peppers could be out. You mentioned if Raji's gone and with Pinnell missing the first four games, like, yeah, that could be a big need as well. Secondary is great. Like, secondary is very talented, just up and down. Secondary might be the strongest position on the team outside of, say, quarterback, or if the wide receivers are where they could be. The secondary is stacked. So, yeah, it's hard to look at it and not say linebackers. I mean, like you said, it's – I don't know, man. Like, Jake Ryan's fine. We talked about that a little bit. He's fine, but if you're counting on him, and you mentioned Sam Barrington. I like Sam Barrington just well, but Sam Barrington's biggest weakness is like against the pass. Like, he can't cover anyone. He can't cover me. And Jake Ryan is like, has games where he's okay in coverage, but for the most part, he seems lost. And maybe that's something that gets better. But I mean, we already saw what happens when you have two inside linebackers you can't cover, and that was AJ Hawk and Brad Jones in the last year there. And that like, we don't want a repeat of that. So it's hard to look at this team and not say that inside linebacker is absolutely the biggest need. Even if Ryan turns out to take a huge step forward in the second game, the second season, like you said, who plays next to him? They toss in Palmer out there. They banking on a rookie contributing immediately. Like it's absolutely their biggest need.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's hard to disagree with any of that. Depth on the offensive line is a huge need, but you're also talking about depth. You can't prioritize depth over we need a starter at this position. Defensive line, yeah, we need some depth. Outside linebacker, it'd be great to get another playmaker out there, but, you know, with Matthews and Peppers probably back and Perry possibly back, I think we're okay there. I'd like to see a draft pick. I'd also I forgot what I was going to say. I'm sorry. Just inside linebackers are being
marijuana is legal.
Nobody
out there
to put next to Jake Line. That is three references to marijuana in this show. All right. I remember what I was going to say. I want to see Jaron Elliott get more playing time at outside linebacker. The guy was a playmaking machine whenever he was on the field, but so rarely saw the field. So, as much as I think outside linebacker is a need to bring in one more guy, I'd also love to see a huge promotion for Jaron Elliott. And just all of these positions are, we have somebody there. Like, who do we have at inside linebacker that can cover a tight end, that can go wide and take away a passing route to a running back, that can chase a running back if he is getting the screen pass, anything like that? Just, we have nobody. And we really need that. Somebody like Darren Lee out of Ohio State will be around our first-round pick. Reggie Ragland, maybe. And keep in mind I'm bringing up these names without any research. I've heard Ragland's name a lot and seen a few clips. I know Darren Lee is a speedster at inside linebacker. There are options out there, and they need to be explored because it is a huge need. I think it's our biggest need. You saw what Trevathan and Marshall did for the Broncos, the defense this year. Just their speed inside is an absolute game changer. Absolute game changer.
Yep.
So, having discussed what we feel the biggest need is, now we will talk about outside free agents, and each of us are going to pick one that we would like to see brought in, and we're considering the salary cap, so we're not going to go out there and say, well, let's sign Von Miller. Obviously, we cannot go drop $20 million on an outside linebacker right now. So keeping the salary cap in mind and the fact that we want to re-sign some of our own guys, who's one guy that you guys would bring in this year, Dusty?
This was a tough one. I had three guys, and they're all inside linebackers. I am going to go with a guy you just mentioned. Maybe he's going to be a bit expensive. Danny Trevathan. He was outside of the obvious. Fills a huge need. Is great. He's great against the run. He's great against the pass. He's quick. He's smart. Just everything you want out of that position. Like, he would upgrade that position immediately into possibly a strength. I guess I don't know if Ryan is playing next to him. I don't know if it's a strength, but he can cover a lot of ground. He can cover a lot of mistakes. He'd be great. On top of all of that, UK guy. Loved watching him at UK. He was here the same time Cobb was, from 2008 to 2010. So just seeing him and Cobb on the same field again, if on opposite sides, would be very exciting. So I've had my eye on him for a while. I really wanted him. He went same draft, I believe. He went second round, same round as Cobb, somewhere in the middle of the round. I'd love Danny Trevathan, and maybe he's going to be a little too expensive. But again, I mean, we just talked about it. It's their biggest need. He's a free agent. He fits exactly what they need in that position. Ryan, we talk about Ryan is good against the run, if a little raw, and bad against the pass. Trevathan's great against both, but especially against the pass. So I'd love Trevathan.
All right. Jordan.
Dusty actually stole the guy right out from under me.
Sorry.
you look at the inside line. No, it really is though. I mean, I think you're right about Price. It could be an issue, but I mean, in terms of the other inside linebackers that are still out there and available, yeah, I think that he could fit this team great. I mean, he's not as old. Another option you'd have out there would be a guy like Derek Johnson, who's a free agent coming out of Kansas City. He's 33. He had had an Achilles injury a couple years ago. There's some concern there, but you know, for me, I would love to see the inside linebacker position filled by free agency, by a guy who's proven that he can do it. I'd rather not see this position built through the draft. I mean, you want to see depth built through the draft, but I don't know in late first round you're going to be able to get a guy that's ready to go starting inside linebacker for this team, you know, ready to make a championship run. I don't think that's the best course of action. So bringing up these guys like Trevathan, like Derek Johnson, there are a couple more that are slipping my mind, but those are the options I would love to see Ted Thompson take a look at and pull the trigger on if I had my choice on it. But yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat with you, Dusty. I'd love to see the inside linebacker position filled up through that avenue.
All right. While I feel that inside linebacker is the biggest need, I think we have the best opportunity for a big upgrade if we went tight end. And as long as I'm talking about marijuana, I might as well talk about myself breaking one of the Ten Commandments. The guy I really want is not a free agent yet. There are rumors about Martellus Bennett being released by the Bears, and I am breaking the Ten Commandments. I am coveting my neighbor's ass right now. I want Martellus Bennett on this team so bad. he's got such good hands. He's a veteran. He can block. He's just the complete package. And if the Bears are going to let him go, I would be all over that. Like, the minute he got that phone call from the Bears, he would be getting a phone call from me if I were running things in Green Bay. But I can't pick him because he's not a free agent yet. So I'm going to go with another tight end. I'm going to go with Ladarius Green, who had a bit of a breakout year for the Chargers last year.
Yeah.
A big 6'6", 240 tight end. He's athletic. He's huge, 6'6", 240. That's big. I think he could have an even bigger breakout playing with Aaron Rodgers and a returning Jordy Nelson. And I think he could carve out a fantastic role here. He'd be one of the more expensive tight ends, but even so, I don't think he'd be a break the bank to get him kind of guy. That's the guy I'm all over. He's 26 years old, so he still fits the youth mantra of Ted Thompson. That's the guy I'm going after, and I'm going after hard, unless Martellus Bennett is released. How about we just go sign all three of those guys? And
I think that's good.
We'll get Derek Johnson, Danny Trevathan, and Ladarius Green, and we'll just win the next three Super Bowls. Deal?
Deal.
Deal.
Love it.
All right. Cool. I'm into it. All right, let's get to some tweets. And we have quite a few, but only from two different people. so let's go with the guy that sent just one tweet. Dusty, you got one for us, right?
Yeah, so this is Ferris Muir. I'm gonna try to read his handle. He's a writer for Titletown Sound Off. Great guy, great writer. Handle is at chef_boyarg. BOYARG, which I absolutely love. Is there any player in the NFL you'd trade a first round pick for if you were Ted Thompson?
Probably 20 of them. Definitely.
But, okay, so let's say just one per piece. If you had one, you only got one first round pick, who do you take?
Are we considering cap ramifications?
Absolutely not. Completely,
no.
Completely unrealistic. Ted Thompson will never give that up. Throw that out the window.
All right. I think it's easy then, J.J. Watt. What that man would bring to this defense that, oh, my goodness, a top 10 defense, you had J.J. Watt, and suddenly were one of the best, especially if you get to add other draft picks on top of it. J.J. Watt in a landslide for me.
Yeah. No, it's hard. I mean, how do you disagree with that?
It's hard to argue with that. I mean, just for the sake of saying something different, like, man, watching Jordy Nelson and Antonio Brown on opposite sides would just be phenomenal to watch. Like, that would be something else.
To kind of go with that, I'm not even saying as much as with that, but I mean, imagine putting Gronkowski on our offense.
Oh man, absolutely.
That'd be fun.
That's hard to argue. Oh my goodness, how would you possibly stop this offense plus Gronkowski?
You couldn't. You wouldn't even need Cobb, and you seriously wouldn't even need Cobb. You have Jordy Nelson. You could get Cobb out of the game. You could line up Janis, Jordy, and Gronk, and it's game over.
You wouldn't even
Don
Capers.
No offense to Cobb, but if the Patriots came calling and they said, give us your first round pick plus Randall Cobb and we'll give you Gronkowski, I would take that and run. Easily.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. There's a lot you would pay for Gronkowski. I mean, that dude's a game changer. You saw it in the AFC Championship. I mean, there's no one that can make – there's no other tight end that can make the couple of those catches he was making. And it's amazing what he can do.
No.
And that completely ignores
an absolute
the versatility that he gives you. He's so good at blocking too. Like you're not you're putting him in the game, you're not telegraphing that you're running or passing. You talked about Bennett complete player. Like Gronkowski can do everything at a top tier level. He can block, he can catch, he can do anything he wants as high. Like the only thing bringing him down is his injuries, just because no one can tackle him except by blowing out his knee. So I mean, he can do
right.
everything. That would be, I don't know, guys. I'm really excited now.
Let's trade our next three first round picks to J.J. Watt, Antonio Brown, and Rob Gronkowski. Oh my goodness, I need to go play Madden. Show's over. I gotta go play Madden. Oh jeez. All right. So we got 7 tweets from our favorite Bears fan, Brian Aviles. The last of which was, please answer all my questions. I don't think we have time to answer all 6 of them. But I'll pick 3 of them.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brian, but I'll pick 3 of them. First, we'll go with Brian. So that's at Brian BBLL148. He's a Packer fan, but he's actually a pretty decent guy.
Bears fan, yeah.
Bears fan, pretty decent guy. I don't know what else there is to say. Says, do you think the Packers will pick up Forte just like they did Peppers? Dusty, are we going to pick up Matt Forte?
Oh, I mean, highly unlikely, but I would love it. I've always been a fan of his game. I'd love it if they did. Can't see it happening.
Jordan.
Yeah, I gotta completely agree. I mean, having his ability to catch passes out of the backfield, as opposed to having James Starks, would be a huge, huge plus to the offense. Just trying to defend that would make this offense that much better, but. Is it likely? No, I think it's too expensive. I just don't think Ted makes that move. I'd be shocked if he did.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that there is a better fit at running back for our offense than Matt Forte, especially if he's a change of pace guy to Eddie Lacy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Ted will show some interest. I think Ted will give him a call, but I think that call will basically go, hey, are you interested in playing here? And Forte will respond with an offer from another team saying you have to beat this. And Ted will say, have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody's going to give him too much money. Ted's not going to get into a bidding war. I know Forte is on the wrong side of 30, but he was still really good last year. He showed very few signs of slowing down anytime soon. I think somebody's going to give him money, and I don't think it's going to be us.
Yeah.
Love to see it, but I just don't think.
I tell you what, if Aaron Rodgers was, say, 36 or 37 or even a few years down the line, then you could see Ted making these kind of, you know, quote-unquote win-now moves, but not when Rodgers is still only 32. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, when Rodgers is 36 and he's on a reworked contract where it's not such a big cap hit and he goes, I'm going to take less money for us to win a Super Bowl, then we're in business on a move like that.
Right.
All right. Tweet number two that I'll pick from Brian. Hard-hitting reporting here. Will Jordan be doing the show with his shirt off? And I can just go ahead and answer that. I don't think Jordan has ever worn a shirt while recording this podcast.
Well, I hate to ruin everybody's night, or maybe I'm making it better. I don't know, but I actually am wearing one. So I'm wearing a shirt and a sweatshirt right now. So it's doubly bad right now.
I guess I'll be able to keep my dinner down after all.
My apologies to the listening audience.
To Jordan's adoring public, who loves nothing more than to see him with his shirt off.
How many do I have? I have 225 Twitter followers. So yeah, assuming all of them listen to the show, which is a safe assumption.
Fancy.
Yeah, none of them are bots, probably. So that's good. That's awesome.
none of them.
I don't know what happened in 225 people's lives that they were brought to a point of following Jordan on Twitter. I was bullied in middle school. That's what happened to me. I don't know what happened to the others. Okay. Next, and this is a really good one. Can we get Jordan to shave the Bears logo on his chest if they win the division? You guys can pick what I do if the Packers win. I love this. Jordan, will you do it? Will you get the Bears logo shaved into your chest hair if the Bears win the division?
This is a done deal. This is something I absolutely will agree to. For one reason. For a couple reasons. For one, it's a temporary move. And for two, it's never going to happen anyway. So it's really just something I'll gladly accept with open arms. If it happens, I will do it. I'm not afraid. I'm really not afraid at all, actually. So yeah, let's bring it on, Brian. I'm good with it.
Beautiful. We have a deal. All right. So before we propose what Brian has to do if the Packers win, Dusty and I were talking before the show, and we thought it's not really fair if Jordan's the only one making a wager. So we'll talk about the ones, we'll tell you about the ones that we talked about off air. Mine was, I was having a really good time laughing at the San Francisco 49ers, a team that I absolutely despise, who hired a coach that I absolutely despise in Chip Kelly, and I just can't wait to see them fail together. And I think it was Jordan said, we'll remember these words when Colin Kaepernick is running all over the field on us in the playoffs next year. So my part of the wager is, if that happens, if we lose to the 49ers in the playoffs next year and Colin Kaepernick has at least, we'll go easy, has at least 70 yards rushing in that game, I will get the 49ers logo buzzed into the side of my hair.
Oh, on the side of your hair. Okay.
Side of my hair.
So are we talking the side of your head? Is that what we're saying?
But yeah, side of my head.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So that is, if we lose to the 49ers in the playoffs and Colin Kaepernick has 70-plus yards rushing, I will get that etched into the side of my head.
All right. I like it. I like it.
All right, Dusty, tell us about yours.
So Brian's got a whole lot of, like, if this, then this. It's like, you know, this team has scored the most runs in a seventh inning while it's threatening to rain outside. He's got that kind of thing going on. Mine is real simple. So we were talking about potential draft picks before the show, and Jordan brought up that he was watching highlights of one Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry, if you're not familiar, tight end of Arkansas, good player, perfectly fine. Good, seems like a good tight end, probably be a good fit with the Packers. Like his face, I wish it was video, because just Google his face. Like his face, it looks like a 12-year-old boy just shoved into a man's body, but he's confused about it. It's like in Big when he's Tom Hanks and he has no idea like what to do with his body that's suddenly large. Like that's him. That's Hunter Henry. He's like a fat kid I knew in middle school that for some reason is about to be drafted in the NFL. Like it's his I can't fathom why his face looks like this. So Hunter, if you're listening, I apologize. I'm sure you are a lovely young man. So mine, and I feel a little left out because mine has nothing to do with body hair. If Hunter Henry is drafted by the Packers, then I have to change my Twitter avatar to Hunter Henry's face, probably as big as humanly possible, for, what do we say, Jordan, is a week or a month? How long do I got to do that?
I think we agree. I mean, it's nothing affecting
month,
your personal
month sounds
stuff,
right.
So and think about it. We can even do it from draft time, which is we can do it. Yeah, we can do it even during the off season. Like once the draft, you can even do it then. You can do it in April if you want to. That's fine,
okay.
But it has to be for a month. Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, yeah, so that's mine.
All right.
It's less humiliating publicly, but for my internet persona, which is all I am and all I live for, it's devastating, devastating. So we'll see how that turns out.
And keep in mind, any of these bets, if any of us lose these, that'll all be documented. It'll be on our Facebook page. It'll be on our Twitter account, on all of our personal Twitter accounts. We will get the word out. We promise, Brian. This is worth it. we also discussed what Brian would have to do if the Packers win the division, since he brought it up. And
yes,
what we came up with was he has to get, and he can pick the font, and we can negotiate the location, but we will pay for it. Tax of the Future will pay for this if he gets the letter G tattooed on his body. He can pick the font, we'll negotiate location and size, but he'll know forever why that G is tattooed on his body. So that is our proposal, Brian. It doesn't even have to be green. We can go with black. It's fine. But the letter G tattooed will pay for it.
Oh, it's great. That's great.
I think we need to, I mean, it's off season. You never know what's going to happen in the off season. I think we need to have him on the show to kind of talk through this, and especially after it happens as well. I want to get that reaction.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Actually, here, I'll read a fourth tweet of his. When he said, when will you get your boy back on the air? He wants to be on a show again. So next time we record, say it be in 3-4 weeks, we record another show, we'll have Brian on, and we'll have his answer. If it's yes, we'll have a party, Mexican fiesta probably, and if it's no, then we'll negotiate something else.
There we go.
I love it. I'm excited.
I love it.
This is as exciting as an off season can be. I love this. Oh, this is great. All right. Final thoughts before we sign off. Dusty, you have anything?
Oh, crap. I had something and I forgot. So we'll go something non-football. Because we were kind of talking about this before the show. We brought him up a little bit during the show. Man, so I've loved Deadpool for a very, very, very long time. I love the comics. There was a run that started in 2013 that was co-written by Brian Posehn. I don't know if you're familiar with Brian Posehn. Stand-up comedian. He was on the Sarah Silverman program. You'd recognize him if you saw him. Odd-looking, tall, bearded man. Anyway, very, very funny, very dark at times. I love that run, love him in general. I could not be more happy to see the movie doing as well as it has. I went to go see it the day it opened, skipped out on work at like 1 p.m. on a Friday because I'm a grown man that makes my own decisions. Then we'll go see Deadpool in the theater. Hysterical. Just absolutely loved it. I love that it's raking in money. I love what this could mean for potential Deadpool and X-Force franchise. I'm very excited about the fact that we actually get this movie with Ryan Reynolds, who absolutely killed it, and what that means for the future. So that's my final thought.
All right, Jordan.
Well, again, I'll say something non-football as well. I imagine for the NFL offseason, for any of just pure sports fans out there, the best part for me of the NFL offseason is March Madness. And actually, in the last few minutes of this podcast, I was keeping tabs on the Wisconsin-Iowa game. And Wisconsin just pulled off an upset over number 8, Iowa, on the road. So Wisconsin's chances of going to the big dance are looking a little bit better after tonight. So I'm feeling much better.
Nice.
Even over the course of this podcast. So that's my final thought. So go Bucky.
Good, because I don't give a flying fart about college basketball until March Madness. So it's good to know that the Badgers will probably be involved. That's good.
Probably not. Yeah.
I'll have a team to cheer for. That's good. I like it. All right, I'm gonna go football real quick, and I'm gonna mention quickly how upset I am with Mike Pinnell. We saw two of our players start last year on suspensions for the drug program, and now Pinnell is doing it this year. It's really disappointing from a player with a lot of promise. I don't understand why there are so many. I don't know if it's a problem with the players that they're just not listening to these rules, or if it's a problem with the rules, there are just too many of them and they're not possible to even follow. I don't know, but it's disappointing to see yet another player suspended 4 games to start next year. Having said that, I've seen a lot of panic on Twitter about it, saying, well, now we have to re-sign Raji. Now we have to spend our first-round pick on a nose tackle. It's just, I don't think it changes our approach that much. You know, we're either going to bring back Raji or we're going to bring in a new nose tackle through the draft, potentially both. It's going to happen. But you don't change your entire off-season plan because a guy's going to be out for 4 games. I mean, if a report came out that Jordy Nelson isn't going to be back from his injury until week 5, you don't then go spend a first-round pick on a receiver. It's just not the way it works. So,
no.
So I'm disappointed in him, but no, it does not change our off-season plans nearly as much as people say. So, last thoughts out of the way.
There we go.
We're going to sign off, and I am going to go play some FIFA because it just arrived in the mail today, and I am full-on addicted. All right, thanks for joining us. It was great to be back. We talked before the show about how we really missed doing this. We're glad to be back. We'll be back in a few weeks again. See you guys later. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Car.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers. Yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice. Hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.